So I'd like to ask you to just pray with me as we open our hearts to God's word. Father, we just come before you in the mighty name of Jesus, and we ask, Lord, that you speak to us today, and that by your Spirit, Lord, you would impart to us truth, Lord, that we might see and hear and understand and walk and live in all that you have for us. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray, amen. Well, now some say this is the most wonderful time of the year when the end of the year clearance sales start. Some of you have already been about that. That is not being about the master's business, by the way, but I'm just saying we do like those times, and believe it or not, it's not a reward for all of your great shopping this year. The merchants just decide to do this as a favor for you. No, there's a reason that they do this. They have to move out old merchandise so that they have room for new merchandise. That's why it's called a clearance sale. They put things on clearance because they want to clear it out. They got to make room for the new. And it's the same way in our lives, that if we want to be ready for the new things that God wants to do in our life, we have to be willing to clear out some of the old things. Not necessarily just bad things, but even some of the good things. I'm telling you, for us to be ready for the new things God wants to do, we got to be willing to clear some things out. I've noticed that most of the time, there's certain items that merchants don't ever put on clearance, like a classic black suit with two buttons. I'm telling you, they may put them on sale a little bit, but they never put them on clearance. Or expensive perfume. Oh, you'll find the cheap stuff clearanced out, the stuff that never made it. But the expensive perfume, they never put it on clearance. And there's certain things in our life that we certainly should always hang on to. We should always hang on to our relationship with Jesus. We should always keep the faith. We should always hold on to our brothers and sisters in Christ that we fight this good fight of faith together with. You see, there's certain things that are precious to us, exceeding great and precious promises. We hang on to the promises of God. Certainly, we don't ever let go of a word of the Lord that God gave to us. We hang on to those things. They're precious, and we never clear those things out. They're too valuable. But sometimes we have to clear out the clutter. Over the years, it's amazing how much stuff we can acquire. We certainly live in a very affluent nation, and most of us, it's just a matter of time. We acquire a lot of stuff. I remember the first time Carmen and I ever moved, we rented one small U-Haul truck, and it was more than enough. The second time we moved, we rented the big U-Haul truck, and we used a trailer. The third time, we rented two big U-Haul trucks and a trailer. And I'm just telling you, it gets worse every time. We just keep acquiring stuff. And, you know, it's one of us is kind of a pack rat and won't let go of some of that old stuff. But I have boots that are 40 years old, so they're still good. I'm not getting rid of those. Yes. What's wrong with people? Last Sunday, I wore a suit that was 20 years old. And I know some of you are going, we know. But hey, now listen, I'm going to get rid of it. I'm just waiting till I lose some weight before I buy the new one. So I have a plan. I have ties that are 20 years old. And so this Christmas, I wanted some new ties, believe it or not. And I got new ties, but in order to have a place to put them, to hang them, I had to get rid of some of the 20-year-old ties. And it was painful, But I did it because I wanted the new ones. And I'm telling you, in our lives, it's that way. Sometimes what we had, you know, it's hard to let go of some of the past things that have happened, and especially the joys and the victories. But I'm telling you, we have to be ready for what God wants to do now. New blessings, new challenges, new victories that are coming. So all of us have experienced a lot of stuff, a lot of things. We have experiences, both good and bad. We have lots of memories. Maybe some hurts and disappointments along the way. All kinds of things that we need to clear out in order to make room for some new things. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19 says, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old." Very interesting the way the Lord speaks to His people here. He says, "Do not remember or consider." You need to understand, we certainly cannot completely forget in the sense that we have no recollection, although some of us get better at that with age, but that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about that we intentionally don't go back and think about what was. We intentionally don't dwell on the past. He says, "Don't remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing, now it will spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." See, God wants to do a new thing. He wants to bless His people. Even in difficult times, God can make a way of blessing for His people. We serve a great God. He is a creative God, and contrary to what religion says a lot of the time, He likes to do a new thing. So often, people say, well, you know, this is the way God did it then, so this is the way God will always do it. No, sometimes God wants to do a new thing, and we need to be ready when God wants to do a new thing. Don't miss the blessings of God and the things that God has for you this year because you're so focused on what God did one time in your life. We need to clear old memories. I know that sounds strange, but I just want to remind you one more time. He says, "Forget the former things." Don't remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. We choose not to think about it and not to dwell on it. The past is how we got where we are today. But if we dwell on the past, the former things, we won't get where God wants to take us. The key to being ready for what God wants to do today, this year, is not to dwell on the past. He said, "Don't remember those things." Now, Jesus said people will always say the old is better. People will say the old is better. It's something about human nature. The old is better. They don't make them like they used to. We got all these phrases like that, right? The old was better. Not when God does a new thing. The new is better when God is in it. You know, I am not for following along and going after every wind of doctrine. I believe the truth of Scripture never changes. But I also know that God does do a new thing in His people as a church, but also in our lives individually. We need to be ready for that. But to do that, sometimes we got to be willing to let go of what has been good old days. I've heard about the good old days, you know, back in the day, when we walked to school 5 miles in the snow uphill, and then we walked home 5 miles in the snow uphill. I've heard about the good old days, you know, when the Sears Roebuck catalog was the first recycled paper. Well, there's a few more in this service than got it in the first service. The rest of you, you don't need to worry about it. But I'm just saying, you know, the good old days when there was no air conditioning. You didn't have to worry about a thermostat. What's that thermostat on back there? Nowadays, it's a, you know, it's a thing. I pastored one church. We had two thermostats on each side of the auditorium, and this one was, after service one day, I noticed this one over here was on the AC, and this one over here was on the heat, and we had a glory cloud in the middle, except it wasn't God. But we worry about such things now. We didn't have to worry about such things in the good old days. We didn't have to worry about telemarketers. Remember the good old days? I'm just telling you, they weren't really all that great. There might have been some good things about the good old days, but I'm telling you, I don't want to go back and live in that day. I thank God for the blessings, the things that we enjoy now. Ecclesiastes 7 and 10 says, "Do not say, why were the old days better than these? For it is not wise to ask such questions." It's foolish to talk that way and say, "Why were the old days better?" No, we need to be ready to see and understand that God has good things for us in our day. That this year could be a great year for you. But you got to focus on what God has today and tomorrow. Jesus is our good shepherd. He is always leading. He's not behind us. He is leading us forward. And we need to be ready to follow Him and what He wants to take us to. Too many focus on the past. They have very little vision for the future and what God wants to do in their life. You know, if you had a car that instead of a big windshield and a little bitty rearview mirror, it had a giant rearview mirror and a little bitty windshield, you're not going to get very far. And so it is when we are always looking at what's behind us instead of what God has for us now. I understand we need to remember the past victories. We need to always thank God for the past victories. We need to remember the mistakes in the sense that we don't repeat them. So we learn from those past mistakes, but we need to have the bigger picture. Our focus needs to be on what God wants to do this year, not on the past, not looking back. Got to clear some of that out so that you can be ready. Philippians 3, 12 through 14, Paul says, "Not that I've already obtained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me." Now, Paul certainly knew that God had taken a hold of him for a purpose, for a reason. He says, "I'm pressing on to take hold of that for which God has taken hold of me." And I hope that for this coming year, that it'll be more than just what you want in your life, but it'll be about what God wants to do in your life, that you take hold of the reason He has taken hold of you. And here's what he says about that. He says, I'm not perfect yet. I hadn't arrived yet. He says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead." And there it is again. He says, forgetting about the things which are behind. Now, the Apostle Paul had lived an amazing life. By this time, he had seen many, many people healed, set free from demons. He had seen the dead raised, seen all kinds of miracles. He had seen many, many saved, churches started. And he says, forgetting about the things which are behind, all of those wonderful things. Now, he wasn't saying, "I'll never have recollection of those things," or "I'll never remember the victories again." But he's saying, "That is not my focus. I'm putting that behind so that I can reach forward to the things that God has for me now." You see, he's continuing to grow. He's continuing to seek the plan, the purpose of God in his life to fulfill all that God has for him. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Don't allow the past to hold you and keep you from pressing toward what is ahead. Focusing on the past will keep you from using your faith. When you focus on the future that God has for you, it will always require faith. But Jesus said, all things are possible to him who believes. So I don't know what the Lord has in store for you this year, but I know that it's going to be good. I like that song we started with today. I know that you're always up to something good. He is. Taste and see the Lord is good. I'm telling you, God, that is part of who he is. He is good. And he wants to do you good. But we need to be ready for what it is that God wants to do. Hebrews 12:1. Hebrews 12:1. It says, therefore we are also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. The second thing that we need to clear out of our lives to be ready for what God wants to do is sin. There in the midst of this wonderful, powerful verse is this little three-letter word that nobody likes to talk about. Sin. He says, let us lay aside the weight and the sin that ensnares. Another translation says that so easily besets us. You know, you start, you get going, and then it stops you. I want you to understand that sin can stop you fulfilling the plan and purpose of God in your life if you allow it. I'm just telling you, sin is not something that's just okay with God. Y'all real quiet right now. You know, people always get quiet when you talk about sin. I wonder why. Listen. Before the children of Israel went into the promised land, Joshua told them this. It's Joshua 3:5. Consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. The Lord will do amazing things among you. Oh, what a great word. I believe we're serving a God who will do amazing things among us. But we need to consecrate ourselves. We need to be ready for what the Lord is about to do. The children of Israel crossed over Jordan and they obeyed the Lord. They marched around the great walled city of Jericho. They saw the walls fall. They easily defeated this fortified city. And then they come to the next city, a little city called Ai, and they suffered a great defeat there. They were shocked. They were dismayed. They didn't understand. But then the Lord revealed to them that it was because someone had sinned. The Lord had given them instruction not to take any of the treasures of Jericho, but somebody did, a man named Achan, and he hid some of it in his tent. And it wasn't until that sin was dealt with that they finally were able to defeat the city of Ai and move on with the plan and the purpose of God. I'm telling you, it's the same way in our personal lives, that if we have sin in our life and we know it, now listen, I'm not talking about that all of us sin. None of us is perfect. None of us is arrived. None of us are just like Jesus yet. We all make mistakes. But listen to me. It's different when you know that you're doing something wrong or you're not doing something that you're supposed to be doing, and yet we expect the blessings of God. There are going to be obstacles, there's going to be things that come up that are not going to be moved until this is dealt with. And so Paul tells us in the New Testament, get rid of the sin. so that you can run your race with endurance. You see, there is a purpose of God for you this year. Don't let some sin hinder you. It's like trying to run a race with your feet, with your legs in a burlap sack. You're going to end up falling on your face. No, you got to deal with that. Clear it out. Don't allow that in your life. I'm glad that He is merciful. He is loving. Don't get stuck where you are, but obey God. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Listen, He forgives. He also cleanses from unrighteousness. Jesus sets us free. You don't have to be bound by that sin. No, He sets us free, but we got to be willing to confess it to Him so we can move on from that and have victory. There's this attitude that's real prevalent in church culture today that sin doesn't really matter because God loves us and He's merciful. I want you to understand that, yes, God loves us and He is merciful. That is absolutely true. But the part that's not true at all is that sin doesn't matter. And people say things like, well, everybody sins. So, you know, everybody else sins, so I have this sin in my life and no big deal because God loves me. Yes, He loves you anyway. But sin brings death. Sin brings trouble. Sin keeps you from many times some blessing, some promise. Now, hear me now. I'm not saying you have to be perfect to receive the blessings of God, but I'm talking about that there are times when there's a sin in our life and it keeps us back from something that God wants to do. Here's another scripture from the New Testament that is for some reason, well, we just don't like to talk about sin. Let's just leave that out. James 1:15, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. You know what that tells me? I don't want sin in my life. We need to clear it out. Make a decision to throw off any known sin in your life so that you'll be able to run your race and have your best year you ever had. I'm telling you, God will bless you. He will help you. Next, clear out the guilt and the condemnation from past sin. A lot of people live under this cloud of condemnation because even though they've asked God for forgiveness, they somehow just feel like that God wouldn't really bless them. God wouldn't really use them. I want to remind you of some of the men that God used in the scripture. How about Abraham, the father of faith? There was a time when he told his wife to tell another man that she was his sister because he feared for his own life. And how about when he went along with his wife's idea for him to sleep with Hagar, the servant, in order to have that son? I'm just telling you, Abraham wasn't perfect, and yet God used him to bless the whole world. How about Jacob, the deceiver, who manipulated his brother out of his birthright and stole the blessing by deception from his father? I mean, to treat his own family like that, how awful. And yet God so worked in his life that later he called him the Prince of God. I'm telling you, he changed his name. He changed who he was, Israel. Over and over you see this in the scripture. In the New Testament, you see Simon Peter. Jesus called him Peter, the rock, and yet he didn't act like a rock when he denied the Lord three times. But it wasn't over. No, Peter preached on the day of Pentecost and thousands were saved. And God used him as a pillar, as a rock in that early church. Paul, a man who started off persecuting the church, putting Christians in prison and standing by, even watching them to be put to death, and yet God uses him as a great missionary. God uses him as a great apostle. God can use you. whatever mistakes of sin are in your past, I'm telling you, you can put that behind you. You need to clear that out. How do you do that? Well, it takes the blood of Jesus. I'm so thankful we have the blood of Jesus. Hebrews 10:22 says this, "Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience." The blood of Jesus is enough. You need to realize the blood of Jesus is more than enough for whatever your sin is. Listen, no matter how terrible, the blood of Jesus is enough to wash it away, to cleanse. And so you need to clear that out by the blood of Jesus. Trust Him. Have faith that His blood is more than enough. Don't let that old guilty conscience weigh you down and keep you from the things that God has for you. Next, clear out past failures. Now, I'm not just talking about sin here. You know, many times we want to achieve things, we endeavor to do things, and even the things that we think God wants us to do, and yet it's a struggle, and we feel like failures sometime. I can assure you that it's not anything new. As you read the Bible, there are many of the great prophets in the Old Testament that were depressed at times because they didn't like the way things went. If you've ever led a small group, you've probably been through some of those times. Some of you will know what I'm talking about, where you had one or two people show up and you felt like a failure. By the way, we found sometimes when you have a real small group, it's some of the most blessed times where relationships are really developed. But, you know, anybody that's ever worked with youth ministry, you go through those times when it's like, is this ever going to happen? Is the fruit ever going to be there? You know, we see now our youth group is so fruitful and God is just blessing it. But I remember the times when Jonathan first started as our youth pastor that it was difficult. And I can tell you myself, I had youth pastored some places where you feel like a failure. Everybody that's ever pastored a church has had some times where they felt like a failure, where it just didn't seem like they were making a difference. All of us go through those times. Well, I want to tell you, you got to clear out those past failures. If you don't, it will keep you, it will hinder you from moving on to the victory God has for you. See, having some failures doesn't make you a failure. Quitting makes you a failure. Don't give up. Keep going on with God. Just learn to trust Him more. And keep going. One man said to his friend, he said, "Wow, you look so depressed." And he says, "What are you thinking about?" He said, "Well, I'm thinking about my future." He says, Why is that depressing? What's so bad about your future? Why is it that you think your future is going to be so bad?" He said, "Because of my past." A lot of people think that way. Don't judge your future by your past. You had some mistakes, some failures. Don't let that keep you. One lady, in her autobiography, she wrote about the first time she cooked a turkey for Thanksgiving. She wasn't really known for being a great cook, and so she told her husband and her son, they were seated at the table ready to eat, and she told them, she said, "Now if the turkey's not any good," she said, "I don't want you to say anything. We're just going to get up and go out to eat at a restaurant." So she goes in the kitchen, she gets the turkey, and she comes back, and she's about to set it on the table. She looks at her husband and son, and she realizes that they both put their coats on. You see, sometimes by our attitude, we communicate to others that we're expecting failure. And it shouldn't be that way. You know, you can almost create the failure that way. We need to be expecting success, expecting that God will help us. And listen, if God's in it, He can help you have victory. If He's not in it, you don't want it. But I'm just saying, you got to put that failure behind, clear it out of your mind. Don't think about it anymore. Remember what the Lord said, remember not. nor consider the things of old. John Maxwell says, if you're not failing, then you probably aren't really moving forward. You're just doing what's comfortable and safe. So if you want to move forward, you're going to have to do some things differently. And if you're afraid, you'll end up not doing that. One man said, sometimes you win, sometimes you learn. I think it ought to always be that way. Either we win or we learn. The truth is that sometimes we don't learn. But when you fail, see it as a learning opportunity. But don't allow it to become a chain to you. Or don't allow it to become a roadblock where you just say, well, I'm not going to try anymore. We all have a closet full of would've, should've's, could've's, if only's. But you don't have to sit in the closet. You got to put that out of mind and move on with God. Don't let all those things keep you. No, decide that you're going to trust the Lord. About a little John Wayne philosophy. In The Train Robber, he said, you're going to spend the rest of your life getting up one more time than you're knocked down, so you better start getting used to it. Well, it's from the scripture, Micah 7:8, when I fall, I shall arise. That's what you do when you get knocked down. When you fail, what do? You get up. Not going to stay down. He says, rejoice not over me, my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. Just not going to stay down. See, the worst part about past failure is if you allow it to keep you from moving on. Failure, that attitude of failure, can keep you from stepping out in faith, cause you to want to play it safe. Peanuts cartoon. Lucy misses another fly ball. She comes to Charlie Brown to make her excuse, and she says, I really thought I had it. I really thought I had it. But then I started thinking about all the ones that I had missed, and the past got in my eyes. Does the past get in your eyes when you think about what God wants you to do? You see, maybe you failed in the past as a husband or wife, as a mother or father. I want to tell you something. That doesn't mean that you're going to fail this year. See, maybe you failed as a student. Maybe you didn't do well in your workplace. That doesn't mean you're not going to do well this year. You need to decide you're not going to let the past hang on to you, but instead you're going to clear out those past failures so you're ready for what God has. The next thing you need to clear out is past hurts. I know you've been hurt. I've been hurt. We've all been hurt, some worse than others, but it's universal. We've all been hurt. The Bible says a wounded spirit, who can bear? And I know some will say, yeah, that's me. I got a wounded spirit. It's time to let Jesus heal it. So many in church get hurt and walk away instead of letting God heal them. I want to tell you, that old hurt can hinder you and keep you from ever being able to move forward in the blessings of God unless you allow Jesus to heal it. He bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Isaiah 53, that is just as true and just as much a promise for you is that He bore our sin. He bore your griefs and He carried your sorrows. So you turn it over to Him. Jesus quoted Isaiah when He started His ministry. And part of that was He came to heal the brokenhearted. Yes, He does. He heals the brokenhearted. And so you can put the hurts of the past behind you. Clear it out. Jesus can help you do that. I'm not making light of it. I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm telling you that Jesus can help you do that so that you can move on to what God has for you. You see, when someone is hurt and that festers, and over the years they just become bitter. You realize they become the person, instead of being loving, instead of caring for others and reaching out to others, they become the person that hurts others. Clear it out. Turn it over to the Lord. You know, a great scriptural example is Joseph. His brothers sold him into slavery. Then he was falsely accused and put in a prison. Then he was forgotten by those that he had helped. Years of hurt. But the Lord was with him. And Joseph never got bitter. And he was ready for the day when God brought him out of the prison and placed him in authority in the palace. He was ready for what God had for him because he didn't allow that hurt to get a hold of him. And I'm telling you that God still can turn the things that others have done to you, he can turn it for good in your life, just like he did in Joseph's life. But don't miss what God has for you because of some hurt of the past. So many people are out of church today, or they don't want to get involved because they were hurt one time, and they're missing out on what God wants to do in and through their life. Don't miss it. Let God help you deal with that hurt. Next, we need to clear out fear. Fear undermines faith, and whatever God wants to do in your life, I'm telling you, it will always require faith. Fear will paralyze you. It'll keep you from doing anything, or at least keep you from doing anything different. It's easier just to do the same old thing, whatever our comfort zone is, but not be willing to do anything different. Fear can be so powerful. Read a story about a census taker who drove up to a farm and he saw a sign that said, "Beware of dog." And so he didn't get out of his car. He just kind of tapped the horn until a man came out. And behind the man was this little chihuahua. And the census taker asked him questions and did his job. And he said, "So your sign said, 'Beware of dog.' Is that the dog?" He said, "Yeah, that's my dog." He said, "Well, that dog couldn't do anything." He said, "No, but that sign does." And I'm just telling you that a lot of the time it's the fear itself is what's holding people back from what God wants to do. So you got to clear the fear out. Have faith. Trust God. Mark Twain said, "I've been through some terrible things in my life, and a few of them actually happened." We hear all this stuff, all this terrible stuff, negative stuff, constant. It's just so many of God's people are afraid all the time. "Well, don't you know how bad things are?" "No, but I'm sure you're about to tell me." Thank you. If I wanted to know all that garbage, I'd watch 4 hours of news a day like you do. Get rid of the fear. Trust God. I'm telling you, whatever God has for you is going to take faith, and fear will keep you from what He has for you. Clear it out. I remember when the Lord called me to ministry, I figured, you know, you start reasoning with your natural mind, and I figured out, well, I'm going to be some kind of Christian psychologist because there's no way I'm getting up in front of people and talking. True story. I've been doing it for over 35 years now. So yeah, if you want to know, I'm not really good for anything else. This is all I know how to do. And you know what? In the natural, I'm still afraid. But I do it by faith. I know that God is faithful. And I'm just telling you, if you're going to do what God wants you to do, sometimes you got to get out of your comfort zone. You got to be willing to do something new. See, he says, I'm going to do a new thing. Okay, God, go ahead. I just don't want to do anything new. No, if we want to see what God wants to do in our life, we have to be ready for that. It's going to take faith. Fear weakens, faith strengthens. Fear imprisons, faith liberates. Fear paralyzes, faith empowers. Fear disheartens, faith encourages. So how do you clear out fear? You clear it out with faith. You choose to believe the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So you build, you strengthen your faith with the Word of God. Don't feed your fears listening to gossip and negative talk and bad news. Instead, listen to the Word of God. Build up your faith with the Word of God so that you'll be ready for the challenges and the battles and the victories that God has for you. You know, Goliath would come out and taunt the armies of God day after day. And all of these men, all of the warriors, they were so afraid. And they would come out again and listen to the same old thing as this guy taunts them. Until this teenager comes along, David, who didn't know any better than to believe God. And he didn't just stand and listen to the taunting. No, after he had permission from King Saul, who was the biggest man, head and shoulders above everybody else, that's what the Bible says, head and shoulders above everybody else, but he wouldn't go. But David goes, and the Bible says that he ran to meet him. He didn't sneak up on him. He ran to meet him. I'm telling you that when we get the fear out and we trust God, we can run to meet the battle, the challenges that God has for us. Face it with faith. Last, we have to be willing to clear out old ways in order to do new things. Vain traditions can keep you from what God has for you today. If we're going to see God do a new thing, we got to clear out some old things. Somehow it's easier to think we're spiritual because we don't change. You know, the Lord says, I, the Lord, change not. So I'm going to be like the Lord. I refuse to change. Listen, He's perfect. You're not. The Apostle Paul said, I've not arrived yet. I'm not perfect yet, neither are we. We're supposed to always be changing, changed into His likeness, but always changing, always growing. We're not there. And so we need to be willing to change, be willing to let go of the way we've done some things. Now, as I said at the beginning of the message, there's some things we don't ever let go of, precious things. But all too often, it's good things more than bad things that believers are hanging on to that are keeping them from moving forward in what God wants to do. We need to be open and teachable. When God has a word for us, that we'll hear it. Before Saul became Paul, he was so religious. He was so sure that he was right. And he was persecuting the church. Until finally, Jesus knocked him to the ground and spoke to him. I hope you don't have to get knocked to the ground before God can get your attention. But I'm just telling you, that sometimes we're so sure that we're so right in our traditions and the way we've done things that we miss what God wants to do right now. Got to be willing to change, to do things differently. Sometimes we need a little more cowboy philosophy. When your horse is dead, it's time to dismount. I mean, even old cowboy knows that. And I'm just telling you that sometimes, you know, what you've been doing isn't working. Sometimes it's time for a change. You know, we can be bullheaded and say, oh, no, this is the way I've always done it. How's that working for you? Sometimes we need to be willing to change. Well, change can be hard. I found that for Christians, most of our vain traditions come from when God did a certain thing one time. It's in the scripture. You know, there was a time when God had Moses make a golden serpent and hold it up, and the people had to look at it to be healed. Well, then the people wanted to make a god out of the golden serpent. I'm just telling you that people do this, and we still do it in our day and time. There's certain things that just, they become a tradition, a golden cow. And not that that was a bad thing. It was a good thing when God did it. But let me tell you something. He doesn't always do the same thing. He says, I'm going to do a new thing. And people missed the new thing because they were so sure he was going to do it the way he did when I was 40, or when I was 20. Remember how great it was? I want to go. No, listen. He'll do a new thing. You got to make up your mind that you'll be a part of it. In your own personal life. So here we go. This is how weird this is. Everybody do this. Intertwine your fingers. What are we doing? We're not in children's church. No, we're not going to do the steeple. No, anyway. So you intertwine your fingers like this. Now, see which finger's on top? Okay, now take them apart and put them back together with the other finger or thumb on top. How's that feel? That is so weird. I mean, it's just not right. That's right. And sometimes when we make a change, we think, oh, well, that just don't feel right. That's not God. Listen, sometimes it's just our pattern, our way of doing things, our tradition. And sometimes when God wants to do that new thing, it may feel weird, it may feel awkward. But you need to know that, yes, God does a new thing. Be ready for what the Lord wants to do. Maybe the Lord wants to call you to spend 30 minutes in prayer each morning. Let me tell you, you're going to have to clear something out to do that. Because you're going to have the same 24 hours in a day that you've always had. And if you're going to pray for 30 minutes every morning, you're going to have to clear something else out. I remember when I was way, way younger and very, very zealous, that there was a time when I said, you know what, I'm going to get up at 5 o'clock every morning and spend 2 hours with the Lord. Well, I made it like 4 days. Until I was so exhausted, I just could not get up. You know why? Because I was still going to bed at 12 o'clock or 1. Now that I'm older, I could say I'm so much more spiritual, but the truth is, I wish I could stay awake later and sleep later, but I keep waking up at 4 o'clock. Some of you know what I'm talking about. But I'm just telling you, you're going to have to be willing to clear something out. You want to give more this year, or you'd like to save more this year. Well, something's going to have to change. You're going to have to clear out some waste where you've been spending money that you didn't need to spend. You know, we just want God to rain it out of heaven, but sometimes He'll help you to know where you're wasting, not being a good steward. You're going to have to clear out some things. You want to be more used of God. I can't tell you, and now let me just preface with this. I'm not talking about you personally, okay? Because there's going to be some of you think, oh, he must be talking about. I've had so many people over the years come to me and say, well, I want to get involved. I want to do this, or I want to do that, or we'd like to be help with this. Okay, well, here's what you need to do. Here's, you know, you need to come to this, and you need to be here for that. Oh, well, I can't do that. You know, my kids got this, and then I got that, and then we got this going on, and we can't do that, so maybe we could do it like once every quarter, we could show up one time. You're going to have to clear some things out. God wants to do a new thing. I believe this can be your greatest year. I believe this could be our greatest year as a church. But we got to be willing to let go of the past, clear some things out so we're ready for what God wants to do. This church has been through a whole lot of change. And I commend those of you that have walked through those changes with us and have stood even when it felt so awkward at times. But God has brought us through. But I want you to know we're not done, because as long as we as a church are moving forward with God, there's going to be things, that areas where we change. And even since we've been in this building, it's amazing how we can start developing, you know, certain little traditions, and we just do it that way. It's amazing, too, how sometimes people come from other churches and they say, well, I left my old church because I didn't like this and I didn't like that. But then they come to this church and they start telling me, well, you know, at my old church, we did it this way. And I want to go, yeah, and you left there. But it's just the way we are. We have these ways. We think it's supposed to be done this way. Supposed to. Listen, in our personal lives especially, I want to encourage you. Be willing to let God show you where you need to make a change to be the person God wants you to be, to do the things God wants you to do. Stand with me. We're going to pray. I'd like for our prayer partners to come. Father, I just thank you that you have a plan for each and every one of us, that you care about every person here, that you love each and every one. And Father, I just pray that the Holy Spirit would help us this morning to see and know and understand where we need to change, what we need to do different, what we need to clear out of our heart. Holy Spirit, show us. Have your way in us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. In just a moment, we're going to dismiss our service, but I want to give you the opportunity to come for prayer. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If you've not made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, I want you to know that he wants to give you an abundant life. He wants to give you the best kind of life. You'll be a new creation in Jesus. Let somebody pray with you this morning to make Jesus the Lord of your life and start this new year with a new life in Christ. I believe the Holy Spirit has spoken to many of you this morning about something that needs to be cleared out in your life, whether it's an old attitude, whether it's a sin, a past failure, a hurt, whatever it is. Come for prayer this morning. Let the Holy Spirit do a work in you so you're ready for this year. As always, if you've come to this service this morning with a need in your life or prayer requests, our prayer partners will be glad to pray with you. So as we close this service, I encourage you to come. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.